Well, fortunately, we are practicing a style of meditation that goes towards openness. Openness to all that occurs. So for instance, when a so-called interruption, such as noise or things that you might consider distractions from your meditation, actually we're moving in a direction of openness to whatever occurs. So it's even said that to practice in a place where there's some noises and things outside in the environment, street noise or wind noise or things of that kind, people talking in the hallway or something, is actually can enhance your practice. Because we're not doing a practice which is, trying to block out or attain some special state. We're doing a practice which is predisposing us to be able to be awake and open in all the situations of our lives. So there's two very important qualities of mind that are brought out with the meditation. And one is attention, and that's what I've been discussing so far. Last week and the beginning of this week, attention, or a part of attention, is stabilizing the mind. It's the quality of being able to be present and have attention to what is happening. The other is relaxation. And as the morning goes on, I'm going to shift emphasis, and for the rest of the morning be talking about relaxation, the quality of relaxation. But I want to just say a little bit more now about attention and what we're doing. So last week I said that following the directions of the Sakyong, Mipham Rinpoche, we're working toward being able to be our own meditation instructor. This is to say that you can fine-tune your meditation, the sense of workability. You can work with whatever is happening. So this morning we've just sat for 12 minutes. How was your mind? Could you characterize it, or did it shift from one thing to another? Was there quite a bit of impermanence, just even in 12 minutes? Or was there sort of something steady, such as your mind is very wild, and you're obsessing about something, and you actually kept coming back, kept following the discipline, but it was almost impossible. If that is the case, you might think that tightening up would be the way to go. But actually, tightening up, generally speaking, makes the mind more discursive and more wild. It rebels. You can experiment with this. Try the tightening up, which would be to say, for instance, start counting breaths to try to stay more anchored and present. But generally speaking, meditators over the centuries have found that tightening up when the mind is very wild makes it more wild. So experiment with trying relaxation, bringing in more relaxation. So this can be done in various ways, but one of the primary ones that's recommended is just connect with the relaxation of breathing in deeply and relaxing outward. Breathing in deeply and relaxing outward. Bring relaxation into your practice. Relax, really, primarily you want to relax your mind. It's so wound up, it's so churned up. You just want to relax your mind. So try this. Just connect with, when people are tense, they're told to take a deep breath, Take a couple of deep breaths and then say, on the out-breath, something like that. So we don't want to hear your out-breaths. But that is the idea. When the mind is wild, you want to go in the direction of getting your balance, coming back to some kind of equilibrium of presence by bringing relaxation into the practice. Also with the thinking, instead of like harshly cutting when the mind is really wild, experiment with very soft touch. So an image I often use is like touching a bubble with a feather, something very light. And I'll talk more about this. But anyway, if that's your state of mind, experiment in the next 12 minutes with bringing relaxation into your practice and just see what happens. This is not a win-lose proposition. It's just working with your mind. On the other hand, was your mind not like that at all, but very dull, sleepy and groggy and vague? And there's various degrees of this, from being actually sound asleep on the cushion. I noticed a couple of people had their eyes closed. You might have been sound asleep for all I know. Or just that kind of woolly, gray, dull feeling. So if that's the case, then actually it said somehow to brighten up, try to brighten up your mind. And so one way you could experiment, if that's what you're experiencing this morning so far, experiment with tightening up. Now, tightening up, that's probably the wrong word because it sounds like tensing up. But what I mean is doing something more precise, such as counting the out-breaths to 10, or even 5, or 21, whatever you want to do. But doing it with a kind of alertness. Sometimes also when you're very dull, it also helps to bring oxygen to the brain. So counting the breaths combined with a deeper breath and a sense of getting more oxygen into your lungs and into your brain, into your bloodstream. But sort of perking up your practice. You might try counting and see if it brings you more out. But counting combined with this sort of bringing oxygen to the brain, I don't know how else to say. And posture, you know, like a sense of warrior's posture, lungta posture. Those of you who know about lungta, sort of arousing yourself in the sense of strong, open front and strong back and relaxed, but, upright, such as you would use for Tai Chi or something like this, relaxed but upright. So sense of energizing yourself. So in that sense, you might bring more alertness, more precision, and try the counting. Another thing you might try is shifting the attention from the breath to the abdomen rising and falling. Because this sort of captures your interest. It's a little harder to find often, but it also anchors you a little bit more because you have a changing but yet more tangible object, the abdomen rising and falling. So that could be something that might balance you, bring you to a sense of being alert and present. So why I'm saying these things is the more you feel that the situation is workable and that it isn't just like I'm drowsy and therefore I'm just going to give into it, or the more that you feel my mind is wild and there's no workability here, the more you feel that you can work with it, that it's workable, the more confidence you have in your potential to awaken, the capability that we all have to awaken. And this confidence that comes from actual experience is so important because it provides the motivation for practicing, and not just on the cushion, but throughout our lives. So our whole life can actually become a continuous process of awakening, a conscious process of coming back into presence over throughout our lives, throughout our day. So I'm going to ring the big gong again, and we'll sit for another 10 or 12 minutes. So it's the same instruction, working with stabilizing the mind, being present, but now emphasizing this quality of applying something that balances you so that you're very aware of your state of mind, first of all, and then you work to try to bring that into some kind of balance. And then if nothing works, you just have a sense of humor about that. And know that meditators throughout the centuries have had the experience of just having to sit with whatever is going on, and no matter what they try, it just continues like that. So that might be what you experience as well. Okay? Also experiment a little with the eye gaze in terms of your state of mind. see what happens to your state of mind if you lower the eye gaze, or if you raise it up 4 to 6 feet in front of you. And just see if those things make a difference. And your posture, see if that can make a difference. You know, the instruction that Trungpa Rinpoche taught and that you've received here is to have the eyes open, and you can work with different eye gazes. And so far I've just discussed close eye gaze and then a slightly more extended eye gaze, about 4 to 6 feet in front. But I thought it might be interesting for you to know the tradition of closing the eyes comes more from the southern tradition of Buddhism, the Theravadin tradition. And the intention there with the eyes closed is it's a more internalized sense of meditation and has a lot of power and a lot of benefit. But we are cultivating something different here, and that's why the eyes are open. So that when you practice with eyes closed, it's very specifically to cultivate a more of a inward awareness. So in terms of Buddhism, that's the intention of practicing with the eyes closed. In some other traditions, one practices with the eyes closed, such as Hindu traditions, and it can be more to go into transcendental states or kind of a bliss states or rising above kind of states. And definitely Buddhism does not encourage that. Buddhism is much more about being present, being awake to whatever is arising. But in the southern schools of Buddhism, Theravada, the eyes are closed. Then with the particularly Tibetan Buddhism, but also Zen Buddhism, the eyes are open. Now the Tibetan tradition of meditation is leading toward Mahamudra realization or Dzogchen realization. And so from that point of view, it's a very important point. It's not just arbitrary that the eyes are open because of the fact that it's leading you towards a recognition of this very place in which we find ourselves as a sacred world. And so it's being awake and alert and present to whatever is going on rather than withdrawing in narrowing everything down to just awareness itself, such as with the eyes closed. So the eyes open is actually very significant in terms of what it's cultivating, this wakefulness and this all-inclusiveness. And so we start with the shamatha, which is placing our mind in an object and always coming back to that to stabilize the mind. But that begins naturally to develop or to expand into a wider awareness, which is usually referred to as vipassana awareness. So this wider awareness or development of insight goes along with the eyes being open. Now, I'd like to say just a little bit more about attention. And this process of training in being present. Another way you could say that is we're training in the process of waking up into the present moment. Just training our minds in the process of awakening into the present moment, but being present. And I've said that the method for doing this is placing your mind on an object. Another way to talk about this is you can take any simple activity. Breathing is one example. A simple activity that doesn't require much thinking, if any, such as brushing your teeth, for instance, washing a dish, walking. Any simple activity. We have many, many of them throughout our days. Repetitive, simple activity. So take a simple activity and do it over and over again. Eating is another good one. Taking food on your fork or spoon, bringing it into your mouth, chewing, putting the spoon down, whatever. But any activity that is simple, it doesn't require any thinking or much thinking, that you can do it over and over, that it's by its nature you do it over and over. And that could also be touching computer keys or anything like that. Our days are filled with them. And you train in just being fully present with the brushing your teeth or washing the dish or eating the food or touching the cup or touching the computer keys or breathing or walking. And when your attention lapses, you just simply bring it back. So this is a description, again, of training the mind in attention or being present. I think it helps to think of this in terms of, like, coming back to the breath is no more of a big deal than coming back to your toothbrush when you're brushing your teeth and you decide when you begin, just as you're about to put the toothpaste on the brush, it occurs to you in your mind that this is meditation. You make the teeth brushing a little bit of a ritual, and it has a beginning, and you say, this is going to be a meditation period, and my intention is to stay present as I'm brushing my teeth. And when my attention wanders, to bring it back to brushing my teeth. So needless to say, one doesn't get so hard on oneself when one's mind wanders off from brushing the teeth. You just come back, right? But with breathing, or because you're sitting in a meditation posture and you're in a meditation hall, sometimes we can get really harsh about the fact that we've gone off. So really this coming back is with the attitude of gentleness or no big deal or sense of humor or some sense of lightness, just coming back. So that was a little bit further instruction on attention and how we're cultivating attention, cultivating staying present. We do that in our meditation. We can do it all the time during our post-meditation as well. So one way of describing this is that meditation is just gently coming back again and again to what's right here. Just gently coming back again and again to what's right here. So, you know, after a while, you don't even think about an object of meditation. There's just a continual coming back and a more and more continuous sense of presence, of just being present here. And when that happens, you know that it's happened. Usually it happens just in little blips and blurps, but it's quite dramatic when it happens, because you realize you've never been present in your whole life before, and suddenly there's just this simple experience of being fully here. It can happen when you're meditating one day out of the blue, or it can happen when you're washing a dish. But just a sense of the simplicity of just being present and not being someplace else is a big breakthrough kind of experience. I wouldn't call it a peak experience, and also it's not necessarily, it doesn't last very long, but it's very helpful to have that experience. So we're predisposing ourselves to have that experience, which is called an experience of mindfulness, of being completely present and awake. So you could say that the definition of meditation is just gently coming back to what is right here, and then I'd add another word, and resting. Just gently coming back to what's right here, and then resting. It's somehow hard to find the right word. I used to use coming back to what's right here and relaxing. But then I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who say, but you can't just tell me to relax, because I don't know what that even means. You know, you have to give me a little instruction on how to do that. So I have found with words like relax or let go that these can be very intimidating words, because you feel like someone is telling you something that's impossible, you know. You say, I can't get from here to there, you know. So I'm just trying to find a word that when you come back, there's some sense of softness or resting there. So when you come back to your breath, a sense of resting with the breath as it goes in and out, or coming back to the dish. And so, in other words, it's not coming back and clutching to the experience. So we just have to find our own ways with this. But if you find yourself like all tense washing that dish or brushing those teeth, and this mindfulness makes your whole life into a straitjacket of tension, then you might think, well, I need to find some way to balance this with resting or relaxation or softening. And usually our experience when we become more and more aware through meditation, which you really, really do, and I imagine each of us has experienced this to some degree, which is you do become a lot more conscious about what's going on during your day, and you do become much more conscious of agitations beginning to rise, or much more conscious of the fact that you've been spaced out for quite a while. There is a sense of more awareness of what's happening. So I said that two very important things cultivated by meditation: attention, which I've been talking about. Sometimes that's referred to as precision or accuracy, stabilizing, but being right here. And the other is relaxation. So I'd like to give some guidelines on, you know, basically how to relax, but particularly how the meditation technique that we've been doing, the different places in it that you could be training and relaxing or learning how to relax. So first of all, the object of meditation is the breath going in and out. You can really have a sense of relaxing out with the breath and breathing in deeply and then relaxing out with the breath. Let the breath, the breathing, the feeling of the breath, this is why we talk about feeling it going in and out. You could even say relaxing in and out, or just let it relax you. So breathing in, breathing out. Have a sense of that being relaxing. Trungpa Rinpoche used to say, mixing the breath with space. Breathing out and just letting the breath go out into space. And then breathing in deeply, relaxing, and then breathing out, letting the breath relax into space. Now, next week we'll talk more about the out-breath practice, which really trains in a letting go. But you can experiment. If you're very, very tense, or you're feeling you need to be more gentle in your practice and be more relaxed in your practice, experiment if just out-breath instead of in and out. See if that actually helps you to relax, to sort of unwind or rest. Because there can be a sense of breath goes out and it's very, very spacious. It's almost like letting yourself go out into the space. Some people can have that experience. And so if that helps you, and then you just rest out there, and then the breath goes out again, and there's less attention on the in-breath. Try it and see if that helps you to relax or to bring gentleness into your practice. And just see. So breath is a big one that can really help to bring gentleness and relaxation, more kindness into your meditation.